Welcome to Guitar Radio Show, the show dedicated to the guitar player, guitar maker, gear builder, and purveyors of such items that you may not know about, but should. Here's your host, Mark Davin.
All right, folks, welcome back to Guitar Radio Show. Our next guest is a returning guest. We had her back, I guess it's about 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago now, and she's got a new record. Man, let me tell you, 2019 has been her year. I call 2019 her slingshot year, and it's like winding up on the slingshot, winding up, while 2020 is going to be when the slingshot gets set loose, and that's when we're going to see, that old saying of overnight sensation? Yeah, overnight sensation in, 30 years?
Yeah, 30-year overnight sensation.
Exactly. She's got a new record. It's called Rise. And folks, I got to tell you right now, don't just stream it. Go buy it, all right? Don't be ridiculous. You need this in your collection. It's called Rise. You can find her on joannaconnor.com. Please welcome back to Guitar Radio Show, Joanna Connor. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for all that. I'm excited about everything. And Slingshot is a good description.
I think so. Yeah,
I'm stuttering over here.
I've been telling you all year. This is your year. This is your year. Mm-hmm. You know, with everything that keeps on happening. I mean, it's pretty astounding, and it's wonderful and well deserved. I might add, really.
Thank
is.
You so much.
So is this correct me if I'm wrong, is this your 11th release now?
No, I've never, this sounds silly, but I've never counted. I should.
I think
it is my 11th. Yeah.
I think it might be 11. Yeah. I tell you this, you know, it's so funny when somebody puts out a record like this, that's this good. I often wonder to myself whether they're thinking, oh my goodness, did I paint myself into a corner? Like, can I top this next time? Do you ever get that feeling?
Wow.
Do you ever get that feeling?
I never like any of my records, so I don't know. I always listen later and go, I don't know. I don't feel that way, because I kind of feel like every record you make is kind of like a chronicle of what's happening in your life.
Yeah.
Because life's always changing for all of us. I kind of feel like, well, who knows what's going to happen next, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Thank you for saying that. I appreciate saying that. You know, you never know when you put something out there, and it's just so hard to be objective.
Yeah.
Even if you step away and listen, but to hear the reaction that I'm getting from a lot of people, I'm like, wow, I guess it is good. I mean, I'm actually really happy with the record. I really am. I'm very happy with it.
Well, good. Now, what was this I heard this morning? Something about AP?
Oh, the Associated Press?
Yeah.
Yeah, a writer from the AP gave it a great review, and I kind of Googled to see what was going on, and it's like I was on ABCnews.com and San Francisco Chronicle, and so it's all over the place. So
that's fantastic.
Not hundreds, but dozens and dozens of news outlets just picked up this review, and the review was amazing.
Right,
so,
and that's worldwide coverage.
It is, yeah, because some of it was actually in Croatia this morning. So I was like,
super,
okay.
Super cool. Super cool. Well,
yeah.
And the same goes for this show. We air in 11 countries, so you're gonna. This will be out to all those folks too. So, well,
wonderful.
Let's jump into it. We just heard the opening track of the record. It's called Flip, and it's a kind of a swinging little groovy. It's a sexy number, you know.
It is pretty sexy.
It absolutely is. I mean, from the groove right down to the lyrics. I mean, it's a sexy tune.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm actually blushing right now.
I mean, you're kind.
It was really.
Go ahead.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
What was really fun about it was I was like with the guys, and the reason I gave for the bass player credit, I was like, hey, I've got this idea for lay down a really funky groove. And I have an idea for a song, but it needs to be funky, you know. And so they laid it down, and then I started layering guitar parts. There's like five different guitar parts on there, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so it was a lot of fun, and it kind of grew. And then we added the sax, and then we added the keyboard, and we added a rapper. So I'm like, you know what? I have a rapper on here, and he came in, and I think what he did was really. We ended up actually having like kind of a relationship work. He might with me. I'll do this. So he came in for a guest spot and ended up being pretty heavy on the record, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought what it was, so it was kind of like, it was funny. It was hot, but it was also kind of funny, you know. So kind of gave the whole thing. It was sexy, but kind of funny at the same time.
Yeah.
It's actually a true story. So.
But the names have been changed. The names have been changed to protect the guilty.
Yeah. Exactly. There you go. We'll not mention any names.
So,
although I did send the person the song. I'm like, here, you inspired this. And he's like, oh. Like, oh, okay, yeah. So, yeah.
Right on. So yeah. It's cool because it's like you're melding Chicago blues and funk with hip hop, and that's kind of cool.
Thank you.
I mean, that doesn't happen too much, you know, and then putting a slide guitar on top of it all. It's like,
yeah, it's kind of a, yeah.
That's really great. I mean, and that's the thing that's been kind of happening lately. And I'm so thrilled to see this happen, because as much as I am a huge proponent of traditional blues, you know, mm-hmm. I do feel that the genre needs to expand and needs to grow. It needs to, you know, yeah. It needs to push the envelope. And mm-hmm. this type of song, this album really does that. And so, just like Gary Clark Jr.'s new record, you know, they're kind of mm-hmm. in that, they're both in that kind of way where they're pushing the envelope. And I think that's really cool.
Well, thank you. Thank you for mentioning my name with his. Well, I've always felt like if you listen to jazz, the evolution from like Dixieland jazz stuff, fusion, it's like with everything in between, bebop, it's like, you know, blues does have different styles of genres or whatever you want to call it, or styles in it. But yeah, we do need to push the envelope. But then you get into that murky area where, like, how far do you push it with still blues, you know? So that's always kind of a hard, I don't know, definition. But I just go with what I feel. And because I'm in the blues scene, I'm playing with guys that have done so much, and myself included, you know, it's going to be in there mm-hmm. because it's just part of who we are, you know?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. And, you know, and, you know, there are going to be people, they're going to be the purists that are like, well, that's not blues, but it is,
yeah, oh yeah.
But it is, because, you know, I'm sure that when Lightning Hopkins heard Buddy Guy, in 69, he might have been like, what's this?
Yeah, I'm sure, because Buddy pushed the envelope too.
Exactly.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He absolutely mm-hmm. did. I mean, one of the first cats to kind of use a Strat, and using that bridge pickup with that ice pick in your forehead, you know, of sound, you know. So yeah, sure. It definitely he pushed an envelope. So that's cool, and that's what we mm-hmm. have to keep doing. We really do.
Thank you. Yeah. I agree. Because else it's just going to become like a museum piece.
Yeah.
We don't want that.
No. I mean, and there's a place for that. I think that's important. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, especially here in Texas and in Chicago, you know, I go, there are places I go and I want to hear Jimmy Reed stuff. And that's what I want to hear.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that's yeah. great in its time and its place and for the moment. And then there's mm-hmm. this other stuff, too, you know, so... Yeah,
right,
for sure.
We're lucky we can listen to all of it.
Yeah, it's a smorgasbord.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So there's another track that's a real standout for me, and it's almost like it gives the listener a peek. There's two tracks like this on the record, but this one too, that gives the listener a peek into maybe a Saturday night at Kingston Mines. You know, and it's a track called Joanna in A.
Yeah.
Tell me about that track.
It's fun. You know, I wanted to do like a little like the intro when we went to Chicago. Like it reminded me of, I kind of was like an homage to James Cotton, because mm-hmm. he used to have some bands like that would just come up and do that kind of a high energy, wild kind of, I don't know, it was like kind of like when back in the day when I used to see him with Matt Murphy and like the original band he had. They would always play that kind of music. So it was kind of like tribute to him, you know?
Mm.
And that definitely is like a Chicago party kind of, let's get up and boogie kind of thing.
Yeah.
With a little jazzy influence. But yeah, James Cotton was a big influence on me because he always had the most amazing bands, and he toured a lot where I grew up. So I got to see him many years with different bands, and they were always really hot, you know? Like if you hear him do Rock at 88, you know, and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right on.
That's where it came from.
And was that all Les Paul on there?
I used nothing but my Les Paul on the whole record.
Wow. And you didn't have the new one yet, right, at that point?
No.
Oh, wow. So it's just that burst.
Yeah. Thank you.
Another track that is really killer, it's a straight ahead funk blues at its best, is a song called Earthshaker.
Thank you.
Great tune. I mean, I would love to. Yeah, I could see you kind of stretching out on this, and how cool would it be, like you with your, which we have to talk about your voice, you and maybe I could hear you, Bonnie Raitt, and Sheryl Crow doing a thing on this together.
Oh, let's make it happen!
Right?
That would be amazing. Yeah, when we play it live, we do stretch it a little too, you know.
Yeah.
But I wrote it for my bass player. It's about him, the one that's on the record, you know, the lyrics are for him, and his grandfather was named Buddy Scott, who had like a weekly residence on the South Side, and he was like really good friends with Buddy Guy, and then all his great uncles had bands, and like, you know, my bass player started playing trombone with Tyrone Davis when he was 17 on the road, so I see he's got this heavy pedigree, you know, and I wrote it for him because, man, when he plays that bass, I call him the Earthshaker. I'm like, man, he's the Earthshaker. So, yeah.
That's very cool. Being from Chicago, I know you're not originally from Chicago, but you're from Chicago. But yeah, being so steeped in that culture and being around it all, I imagine, you know, I can feel ghosts here in Austin, but being around in that culture, being around those people, how has it influenced you over the years?
Wow. I mean, it's in every way. I mean, it kind of changed my whole life, just being in the new culture, attitude, just a way of thinking, way everything. It just I immerse myself in it, so it definitely changed me as a human, you know, and my path. And musically, I feel like there's no, probably Austin too, but there's like no training ground like Chicago. You know? I mean, the amount of musicians, the kind of like, I think it's probably, in my opinion, the best drummers in the world come from Chicago. And if you go down a list of like the top session guys in LA, people on the road, like 80% of them are from Chicago. So there's like this really hard driving, funky, way of playing and the way to play the shuffles, and it's its own sound, but it's like it's heavy, and it's like you've got to be tough, you got to be strong, you got to be ready, you know. So it definitely makes you. I mean, there's a brotherhood and a sisterhood there, and I think more so now than there ever was. But it's also, you know, you got to stand on your toes, you know, whatever the expression is, you can't be a weak human and you can't be a weak musician, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think it definitely has given me an edge.
It's so funny you say that word, because that was going to be the next word out of my mouth, was that's what Chicago has that I feel like Austin doesn't have, that same kind of edge. It's very different. Mm-hmm. Chicago has this edge that you do have to step up. You know, you're only, I mean, same thing for Austin in the sense that you're only as good as your last gig, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and you got to always continue to prove yourself. And that's what I think makes you and players like you stand out above the rest, is that, you know, folks like you and like Taranzo Cannon, you know, people like that who just have to constantly say, here I am.
Yeah, it's true. Every night. Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, for sure. I think it was so amazing that you did this beautiful Torch song, and you did such a cool version of this Buddy Johnson song that, God, so many people have done this song. Andy Williams, Doris Day, Barbara Streisand, and of course, Ella Johnson. Is there a history with you and the song Since I Fell For You?
Oh, yeah, I sang that song in like the first band I was ever. So, you know, Bonnie Raitt did a version, but I kind of, you know, that one I was familiar with, but I kind of made it a little bit more jazzy.
Yeah.
With some of the chordings and voices. So, kind of gave it my own spin, kind of a combo of kind of Bonnie Raitt, but mixed in with more jazz.
Yeah.
So, but I've been playing it forever, and I'm like, you know what, I'm going to record this. And I'm doing a lot more acoustic gigs. Like I do one every week at the House of Blues, and I open up the weekends acoustically at the Mines, and I open up for John Bale a couple of times. So I've been doing more and more acoustic stuff. I'm like, you know, I'm going to put that on the record.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to give it, you know, because I kind of want to give a variety of musical styles and feeling and mood. So I said, yeah, let me get a little more tender, you know, on this one. So, Yeah.
That, and what kind of acoustics are you using on there?
Well, right now on that record, it's a Dean, and I can't remember the model number because I'm really bad at that stuff. and it's, you know, it's a fairly middle of the road guitar, but it always had a really great action, and I think it sounds really good. And I think the engineer Eric did a great job of. He texted me. He goes, "Yeah, listen to that cut. It sounds like a $2,000 Taylor." I'm like, "Yeah, it does." So, but I am actually meeting up in Austin this week with Gibson, and I'm gonna pick out a Gibson acoustic. So
fantastic!
I'm fortunate that I can do that.
That's wonderful. Oh wow!
Yeah, I know. I'm excited.
Have you thought about which model you might want?
I feel like until you put it in your hands. Because even though, like, there's models with certain specs and they're supposed to be, I mean, even though a lot of them are handmade, quote unquote, I still feel like every instrument's different. And until you feel it, you just have to feel it in your fingers, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why I'm going to go in and play and feel around and see what appeals to me, you know?
Yeah. So, right on.
Yeah.
Right on.
Give you love, better let your love, you better let your love divide, yeah. I know it's so, and yet I know I can't get you out of my heart. You maybe leave my happy home, took all my love and now you're gone. Oh yeah, since I fell for you.
So another thing about this record that it really is a very wide view of the blues in so many different ways. Like we were talking about, you got the funk blues, and you've got some rock, definitely got some jazzy blues, but now you've got this wonderful barn burner of an acoustic track called My Irish Father, this Celtic blues. Oh, so cool. I love it. So tell me about that one.
It's an open tuning G, you know, and I love open tuning. I mean, all of us probably love open tunings for guitars because it sonically just sounds so big and rich, especially when you're playing solo. Like, that track, I didn't overdub anything. It's just me in the studio going at it. And I just started experimenting. It's like I'd always close acoustics. That's what's kind of a theme, but it's, I just go off the top of my head whatever I'm feeling. So, but I definitely, it's funny. I always really liked a lot of like Irish trad music and like the Celtic guitar stuff. And right. I didn't even know it was Irish back then, but a lot of us do. And so when I found out, like, you know, I have my, like, I'm 50% Irish and found my family from like hundreds of years and da da da, I was like, wow, it meant more to me. You know? So, yeah. Pretty cosmic.
Yeah, it is. It's great. I didn't expect that at all. When I saw my Irish father, I was like, huh, what's this going to be? And then you know, yeah. My first time listening to it, I was like, whoa, check it out.
Oh, thank you.
Such, I mean, your element is really being a live performer, right? I mean, so it kind of makes sense. That's how you want it to feel in the studio, so it comes across like a live show for you, right?
Exactly. I really want to feel comfortable because I feel like that's when you're most creative, is when you can feel comfortable. You know, you want to have an edge and you want to push yourself, but you also want to feel like, you know, at ease, so you just feel free to flow and create, you know?
Right. Right on. Yeah. Another track that sounds like it's a Saturday night at Kingston Mines is this track called Blues Tonight.
Yeah.
Now, is that one you've been doing a while?
We've been doing that for a while, probably like a couple of years. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was good to go to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of wanted to explore like all the, like, because when you see us in the night playing, we will like play everything. Like you're gonna want to dance, you're gonna want to boogie. We might rock it out. We mm-hmm. might play some tender. So I wanted to bring that aspect to, you know, what we've been doing to the record, you know.
For sure. So let's real quick. I know you're not a big gearhead, but I saw you in Dallas when you were at the Dallas Guitar Show. And by the way,
oh, yeah.
You tore it up. You just tore it up. I got to tell you, I don't know if you realize this or not. I don't know if anybody told you or not, but that's all anybody could talk about the next day was you.
Really?
Oh, God, yeah. Because I told all the people that I was going to see and hang out with, I said, y'all got to make sure that you're at this show because this you're going to want to see this. And they all showed up, and I remember I was sitting right in the front. And I remember at one point I just kind of turned my head around to see if they all showed up, and they were all there. And it was funny. Every single one of them had their mouths open.
Wow. Oh, you just made me have a big, giant ego, don't think. I had such a good time. And the rhythm section that was there was so good that played with me. I really had a good time with them.
Those guys are great. They back up so many people, and they don't get nearly enough credit. I spoke to the bass player later on. I told him, I said, man, I said, every time I see you play, you're so on it. So he was real. They were really tight. It was great.
Yeah, I really had fun playing. That really, because if they weren't half, then I mean, I'm sure I would have been fine. But the fact that you were, but it just inspired me to play well, you know.
Yeah.
Somebody's like, you're the only person that ever let the rhythm section solo. I'm like, well, why wouldn't you? You know,
exactly.
Why don't do the thing?
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm a big of music. I my biggest thing is I like to get up on stage. And I like to make music with other musicians. And I love for the audience to be a part of it because to me it's like we're all in it together, you know.
Exactly.
The audience impacts us with their energy. We impact them. So it's like the first time I ever played music and loved it, I was a sax player in school. And we would do we had a really, really great jazz band in high school. Like a lot of the people when I actually went on to really big fame. And I just remember saying, this is what I want to do because the fun was making that music with all those other musicians, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I still feel that way, especially when the band's great.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the band I have now, the band that's on the record, the only person I do have a new drummer, but he's as good, if not better than the guys on the record, and he sings like an angel. So it's like, yeah, I just, every night I'm like, gosh, I'm so happy to be here with these guys.
Yeah, well, that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of it, right? I mean, there's this exchange of energy between you guys and the band, and then there's that exchange that exchange of energy that's you're putting out to the audience, and the audience is giving right back to you. It's beautiful.
That's the beauty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
So getting back to the whole gear thing, I have seen shows where there is a Jazz Chorus 120 up on the stage. Is that you playing through that?
I'm weird. I like a lot of transistor amps. And a lot of people are like, oh my God, you know. I mean, I had a Victoria. I loved it.
Yeah.
I had it for years. And then it literally fell apart. Like, it literally fell apart. Like, the whole chassis fell down. The guy was like, the building, he's like, oh my God. I played it for 9 years, like, everywhere. And, you know, I have an Orange now. I had one of their tube amps, but I switched to the Transistor, the Crush 120.
Right.
And I like the fact is that, I mean, I'll play a lot of amps. I mean, I play Twins.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, every amp's different. Some have been well taken care of. Some haven't been, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I used, when I recorded in the Delmark studio, they had an old Vibroverb, which was just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So every amp's different. And then I played old Marshalls.
Mm-hmm.
From like the 60s that I absolutely love. So, you know, there's so many, and the Mesa Boogies, and I had a Gene Markley amp of all things that was amazing. So, yeah, so I kind of switch around, but I'm pretty happy with my Orange amp that I have right now. It's heavy, but got a big fat tone. It's a big, you know.
Yeah.
Celebrate time to liberate.
So the record, you close the record with a track that I kind of feel like is a message to everybody, to the world. Mm-hmm. Not mm-hmm. just America, but it's a track called Dear America. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the world we're living in currently right now is kind of topsy-turvy. You know, I kind of liken it to, you know, everybody has a vibration, you know. And I feel like everybody's vibrating in a place that is not necessarily good for themselves at this point mm-hmm. in time. And I kind of feel like this song addresses that.
Yeah. Well, when I was working with Alfonso, he had a track. He did it was somewhat like that. The message, you know, and I was like, you know, I want you to write, because it was all his thing. I said, I want you to write about what's going on in the world and rap, you know. And he did. And it was pretty uncanny, because we had done the tracks, and we had a singer come in to sing. Like, we did Levee Breaks. Mm-hmm. And then he just rapped over it, and these parts were the vocals. I mean, it was just the way it all synced together was almost like, kind of like, wow, how did this even work? But it did. But he absolutely killed it. And I said, you know, and at first the record company was telling me, I don't know if he should release it. It's a rapper on the whole thing, and it's kind of controversial. And then I was like, we should, you know, we need to. And then he agreed to it. And everybody's been really responding to it. You know, I think it's a really powerful beat.
Oh no, it's a powerful message, and it's, you know, like I said, it's not just a message for America. I think it's a message for the planet.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. I'm really, I told Alfonso, I'm like, just don't use any cuss words. Like, just do it. Just lay it out there. And, yeah, he did a great job. He delivered it like with a lot of passion. So yeah, I love that track, and I love the way the band sounds on it too.
Yeah. Is this a track you'll do live?
We actually do it live. I mean, he's not always there, so no, but we'll do it. We'll do it as a Levee Break, you know, for the Levee Break. So the music is like last time we've been changing it all the time. We'll play the Levee Breaks. We ended up playing Salsa. We went all over the map with it, but it was,
right.
It's really fun to play. But yeah, he'll, I'm actually, because my drummer's new, he can actually rap. So I'm like, you're going to have to learn this, because we need to do this live when Alfonso's not there, you know? And so that I think that's going to happen in the future, because he's actually a really good rapper. So
very cool.
That will be delivered, yeah.
Very cool. So did you do a blues cruise this year?
No, I am going to do Joe Bonamassa's cruise in February.
Oh, okay. That's what's going on. Okay. Yeah. So you're doing that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Were you and Bonamassa over at Ginny's last night?
No. Joe Bonamassa came to my gig in Chicago Wednesday. He actually has been talking to me. I didn't tell anyone because I didn't want to, because I didn't know what was going to happen. But he reached out. He tweeted something of mine in May. One of my videos, and then I sent him a message like, hey, this is Joanna, thank you so much if you ever want to get in touch with me. And he did immediately, and he's like, I want to take the unknown out of your wheelhouse.
Nice.
And I can do it for you. And I was like, oh my god. And then he came to my show Wednesday because he's on the road, and he's going to do a record. We're going to go in the studio in February, and he's assembling a cast of players. One of them for sure is Reese Winans, which I can't believe. Stevie wow. Ray's old player. And we're going to go into the studio probably in Nashville in February and make a record.
Wow. And then off to the blues cruise. And then off to the blues cruise?
And the blues cruise. Yeah, the same month. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. Big changing stuff coming up, I think.
Well, like I said, this is a slingshot.
Yeah. You really nailed that one, because this is like the final part of the slingshot coming.
are you surprised by it all?
I am completely surprised.
You're going to have to repeat that. You dropped out.
Oh, okay. It's been completely surprising to me.
Oh wow! I'm losing you at a most important time. The phone is crapping out on us here.
Okay, how about right now?
That's better. Go ahead.
Let me sit back down to where I was. How about right here?
Sounds good so far.
Okay, yeah, I moved. That's fine. I mean, I've been completely surprised by everything. The people in my band, because they were top players. The Dallas Guitar Show, being asked to do that. Gibson. All the things that have been happening, being voted, winning the Chicago Music Award, being in the Reader's Poll, losing the Buddy Guy for best band in Chicago. I mean, all this stuff. And then Vernon Reed and I have been talking from Living Color. He was like, reached out to me, and the way this record has been received, and then Joe Bonamassa. I mean, it's just been like, I just can't believe it. I feel like I'm just being blessed. So it's like, pinch me, you know?
Yeah.
I can't believe this is going on. I mean, I'm going to be in the NAMM show for Gibson.
Oh, California. Very cool.
Yeah, I was like, really? I mean, it was literally, I mean, the other day when Joe Bonamassa was coming to my gig, I was sitting there crying in my house, like, but it was tears of joy. Like, I cannot believe this is happening. It's just incredible to me, you know?
Well, you know, you do have to realize, I mean, you do realize, I mean, how could you not? You've worked really hard.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I have worked hard. Yeah, but you know, a lot of people work hard, and there's a lot of amazing players out there that that never get their due. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I feel fortunate.
Yeah, but you're a believer, right?
I am.
Yeah, that's what it is believing in one's intention. You know, intention's such a strong thing. And it seems to me that your intention has never wavered.
No, I had it in me even as a kid. I was like, someday I'm going to do this, and I did it.
Yeah.
I kind of always knew, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
there were times I was kind of like, I don't know, and, you know, but, you know, I had, like, moments of doubt, but, I mean, I never stopped, so.
Right. Well, I mean, everybody does. It's like it's falling. It's just like a misstep of falling down for a second. You know, everybody has that. But it's like, I don't know. You saw my reply to something you said yesterday. I said E plus R equals O. You know.
Yes, I loved that. That was awesome.
You know, I mean, I literally got that tattooed to my wrist. So it's always there.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know, because it's so true. You know, any event and our response to that event is going to equal our outcome. And especially in this business.
I might do that.
Especially in this business.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Well,
it's teaching me a lot about life, just period. Like, I feel like, yeah, manifesting and positivity and energy is everything, and just tapping into it in everyday life besides music, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's made me a much happier human,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's important, especially now. to be a happier human right now in this vibrational state in the world, it's a tough gig all on its own. So to be doing what you're doing and showing others that it can be done, and to do it with integrity is, you know, you're a leader, and that's a beautiful thing.
Thank you. Well, thank you. We got to balance out the energy. I think we can. I think we can. We can do it.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
All of us.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can't thank you enough for taking time out on Sunday. I'm so glad you're here in Austin. I hope you guys have a great day.
We are. Thank you so much for having me and being a great interview, too. This is really fun.
Well, thanks so much. I appreciate that, and I appreciate you. And stay in touch. And I can't wait for you to bring the band here and play, because Austin will they'll eat you up with a spoon. They'll just go crazy over you.
Oh, we're coming. It's going to happen.
All right. I can't. I'll be right there in front.
You better be.
Hey, maybe you'll let me come up and introduce you.
That would be a blast.
I would love it. All right.
Yes, it would.
We're sending an axe. I know the folks over at Antone's listen to the show. So folks at Antone's, Susan.
There you go. Hello.
Hello, yes. Susan.
Are you there?
Joanna Connor at Antone's. What do you say? Here, let's do it.
All right. Good to me. Let's do it. You have a great day.
You too, and I'll speak to you soon.
Okay. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Taking up. respect for the government, got none for yourself. You got faith in the system, that will set up by yourself. Put a tip down the school, just to set up a jail. Divided states of America, you can't do this by yourself. Dear America!
If you love the artists you hear on Guitar Radio Show, don't just stream their music, buy it. Check out Guitar Radio Show on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher Radio, GuitarRadioShow.com, and anywhere you get your podcasts. Find Guitar Radio Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.